Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Natalie.
Oh, today the three of us are together to talk about self-love. Oh, I love it, Jason. Right. Well, it is our theme for the month of February. So if you are listening or watching in February of 2022, this is the theme, self-love. January was self-care. We're moving into self-love in February. And the reason we chose this was it's kind of aligned to a holiday that's celebrated in February, Valentine's and Galentine's. But really, you know, we wanted to kind of transition into the new year, putting ourselves front and center. So today's conversation is really going to revolve around self-love, right? What is it? How do we define it in our own lives? How do we practice it? And are there some areas that we could work to improve on our own self-love that we have for ourselves?
Have you ever wished you had a dedicated bariatric buddy to help guide you along your weight loss journey? Well, guess what? You can find that person. Patient Partner connects pre-op bariatric patients to vetted post-op bariatric patients who help and encourage each other along the way. Patient Partner helps you feel more empowered, prepared, and supported through your surgery by connecting you to a community of recovered patients so you can move forward with confidence. Click the link in our Instagram bio to learn how you can take advantage of this free service and follow Patient Partner at patient_partner.
That'd be pretty good. Right? Because I don't think I'm very good at this. Jason, what about you?
Getting better, but I could get even better.
Nat, what about you?
About the same. I feel like I'm improving as I go.
Right? It's a really hard thing to do. I kind of feel like self-care is one of the things that kind of gets put on the back burner. So does self-love. And I think we are more harmful to ourselves than helpful to ourselves throughout our day. We just don't know it, right? It's that unconscious what's happening. So in today's conversation, you know, we really want to dive into just like, what do we think this looks like in our lives? And then what are some things that we could maybe do or add on that would maybe help us get to this place of self-love? Mm-hmm. That could be a high bar to set, but we got to start somewhere, right?
Yep.
All right, my friends. Well, shall we just dive in?
I think so.
Get it.
Let's do it. So y'all know we start every episode when we talk about something like this, speaking the same language. So I went to the almighty Googs and I typed in define self-love. This is what we came up with. Self-love is regard for one's own well-being and happiness, chiefly considered as a desirable rather than narcissistic characteristic. Right? So regard for one's own well-being and happiness. So in our own words, right? Okay. So Jason, how would you interpret that kind of in your own words? When you think of self-love, what comes to mind?
I mean, to me, it really sounds an awful lot like just doing what best serves you in the time. So, you know, if you're having a rough time, you got to, you know, be able to take a step back, realize what's going on, kind of assess the situation, do a little triage, figure out what's happening, and just work to make your situation better for the time being. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be a permanent thing right then and there, something that's going to last, you know, forever. But, you know, there's times where we have to just kind of take it, you know, it's just taking a beat, taking a breath to make sure that you don't lose it in whatever moment you may be having so that you can collect yourself and keep it moving sometimes.
You know, and I really like that your definition brings up the point that self-love can look different every moment or every day, right? We don't have to get stuck in this like, well, this is the only thing I do, you know, for my self-love. It's really going to fluctuate, you know, moment to moment and day to day. Matt, what about you?
Yeah, I think for myself, it's, you know, how can I show myself that I either like accept my body or myself, love myself or my body? And how am I going to do that today? Like, what actions can I take to show myself that maybe I love myself today? Maybe I'm like feeling it, but how am I going to like tell myself, show myself that? Or if it's one of those more like difficult days, how can I just tell myself that I accept myself? I accept where I'm at. I accept my body as it is today. And again, like, how can I tell myself or show myself those things?
And I think the reason that for many of us, this is such a hard concept or such a hard thing to practice is because we spent years or decades not practicing self-love at all, right? Absolutely hating everything about ourselves, right? From the way that we looked, from the way that clothes fit, from the way that we felt, from like what we said to ourselves. We were constantly comparing ourselves to other people's judgments and opinions really, really mattered to us. So to all of a sudden just say like, well, I'm going to abandon, you know, how I was thinking and how I treated myself for all those years, just instantly once I've had bariatric surgery, that's a tall order. That's a really tall order, mm-hmm. you know? And the interesting thing too about self-love is that there's some similarities between the definition of self-care and self-love, but there's some big differences, right? So our working definition of self-care is, right, the practice of doing things that help us maintain or improve our health. Right? So how do I just keep the status quo or how do I improve my health? And self-love kind of has pieces of that, right? Because it's regard for one's own well-being and happiness. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like, I don't know if chicken or the egg situation, right? I don't know if self-love came first. I don't know if self-care comes first. Maybe it swaps off day to day.
I kind of look at it like it's a situation where you kind of have to go through some self-care to realize that you've been neglecting the self-love side of things. And one kind of feeds into the other, almost like a stream to a river to a sea kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's a symbiotic relationship. Like the care to me is the physical. Like when you care for someone, you're taking care of them. If they're sick, if they're hurt, you're caring for them. But loving someone is a lot more on the emotional side. So for me, it's like, okay, the self-care is the action that I'm taking, whereas self-love is more the mindset and the inside work that we're doing.
Yeah, that the intrinsic stuff, right? That valuing ourselves just for like, kind of like what you said, not like where we're at. Yeah. It reminds me a lot of like the body neutrality movement, right? Like I don't have to like love everything about it, but I can just be neutral about this, right? I can just accept this and understand that this is the reality. Yeah, right. Because the definition goes on to say, you know, self-love is a state of appreciation for oneself. Self-love means having a high regard for your own well-being and happiness. Self-love means taking care of your own needs and not sacrificing your well-being to please others, right? And I think that can be hard.
The inside.
Right? And I would assume like for any parent or anybody that cares for another human, that could be a little bit of a hard definition because we always feel like we have to put the, you know, those people ahead of our own needs, our self-care and our self-love. But if we're never putting ourselves at least equal with those people, we're not going to be available to love on them or care for them, right? I mean, yeah, Jason, you can speak directly to this. You got kids and grandbabies.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. I mean, you know, there's going to be times where they're coming to you and they don't care that Pop just got done working, you know, 8, 10, 12 hour shift, and they don't care about overtime. They don't care about any of that. They don't care about recording. They don't care. They just want to play. Like they want to pop up. They want to hang out. They want to play with Play-Doh. They want to make donuts. Like there's all the things in the world they want to do. And like your time frame or what's going on in your head, like that doesn't compute to them. Like they're just and it's not to a fault of theirs, not that they don't care. It's just they're young and they're bright, their minds just don't understand how that works. They just know that you're no longer doing whatever it was that was keeping you from playing with them, and that's what they want to do. Like they waited their turn, and it's time for you to be off work, so let's get it. And that's just, you know, and if you continue in that mind frame of, well, yeah, let me do that, and then I'll do this, and then I got to do this. If you keep yourself constantly moving at the behest of others, eventually you're not going to be able to move because you're not going to have anything left. And much like you said, that standard of care greatly diminishes when you don't have anything in your tank to get. You'll show up, maybe, but the standard of care that you're going to provide is not going to be the same as if you are ready to get out there, well-rested, and had time to kind of relax and recoup and refill, you know, refuel your tank, then you can come out and give the best version of yourself. But just to say I'm doing the best I can and I'm just out there, you know, every day going through the motions, that's just not the same. You're not only selling who you're caring for short, you're selling yourself short, because at the end of the day, you're going to burn yourself out. And it's just not, it's really something that I think all of us as people pleasers and givers really have to take stock and inventory on, because we always, I mean, that's part of being a people pleaser, is pleasing the people by providing them the best type of, you know, the best version of ourselves that we can get.
And as you were talking, Jason, I was thinking about, like, God, how did I practice self-love, or did I love myself before surgery? Right. And you were thinking, and it got me thinking to, like, I was always working so hard to try to please other people or to prove that I was as good or as smart as, like, no, like, I can really do this. And I felt like I just had to work so hard to, like, prove that. But in the end, I mean, I guess it helped me get to where I am today, but it was a bit of a false promise, because I probably didn't have to do all of those things, and I still would have ended up kind of where I am right now. So was that self-love? I don't know, right? Regard for one's own well-being and happiness. I mean, Nat, what do you think?
Yeah. So I've talked about this before on my personal page, as well as I think a little bit on our podcast, but my journey to bariatric surgery actually had to do with self-love. There was a period of time, a couple years of time, where I literally had to shed anyone else's thoughts, fears, concerns about me, about my weight especially, and just quite frankly not give a fuck. For a couple years, eat whatever I wanted, wear whatever I wanted, dyed my hair if I wanted to, got a piercing if I wanted to, because to me, for years, I had been expressing myself in the way that I thought I should have, rather than what I actually wanted to. And including bariatric surgery. I mean, I had two failed bariatric surgeries. To me, those were huge failures. So why would I want to get another one if I'm just going to fail that one too? So I just thought, screw it. I'm going to be fat. I'm going to be cool. I'm going to dye my hair, wear whatever I want, eat whatever I want. And for me, that was self-care or self-love, because I had to just fully accept who I was as a person, not as a physical body, in order to come to terms with the fact that I needed bariatric surgery for my health, not for my person, if that makes sense.
Well, it does. I mean, I think your decision to have a third bariatric surgery speaks exactly to that definition, regard for one's own well-being and happiness, right? You had really given up, you know, expectations of everybody else. And you've just said, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what I want to do. And after doing that for a few years, realized I'm still not exactly where I want to be, right? I'm not happy, and I need to do this to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. So that really is, wow.
Well, okay. And there's another side to that coin too, because, you know, in Natalie's position, like what she had spoke about, she loved herself. Like, that was self-love. Like, she loved herself as a person. She loved herself enough to realize that she wasn't being as good to herself as she should be. Yep. And a lot of people don't find that, you know, they don't see that those can be mutually, you know, exclusive. Like, you can love yourself enough to want to make changes, because a lot of people just see, you know, and talk about, like, oh, I was so unhappy at my highest weight. When they say that, they don't necessarily always mean they didn't like themselves, because me as a person, when I was at my heaviest, I'm that same person today that I was then. As my inner person, like, I don't eat the same, I don't make a lot of the same decisions, but as a core person, like, I loved myself as I was. That's why I didn't change. Like, I didn't feel the need to, because I can alter thought processes. I can alter pathways. I can alter the decision making without altering my core personality and, you know, the person that I was. And Natalie found a way not only to do that, but to do that, you know, at a very successful rate. And I think a lot of people, you know, that we've talked to that are on the fence about it say the same thing. Well, I don't want you, and April, even you talked about it before you answered, I don't want to change as a person. I don't want to lose all this weight. What happens to my identity is the, you know, is either the, you know, like me, I was the funny fat guy. Well, now I'm just the funny less fat guy. But, you know, it's just kind of the way it is. I act the same. The only thing I do is my materials change because I'm not the biggest person in the room anymore.
I think there's something to be said about that too. You know, I actually read something today, which is great timing, but about when our bodies change and our brain, our body dysmorphia, essentially, like our bodies change. When we go through body dysmorphia on this journey or anytime our body changes, we go into this like panic mode and we assign like value and feelings and all of this stuff to our brain, literally just noticing a change. It's just a recalibration. It's not like a, like our brains like to just know who we are and know ourselves. Like our brains just do a scan of like, okay, this is what we look like. And so when our bodies change, when we go through a major change, our brains go, whoa, okay. And they look it over and our emotions say, oh my God, I've changed, panic. You know, we go into this like emotional state, but it's really just our brains recalibrating.
So what you're saying is that it's like our brain, it's like, it's a Mad Lib, right? Our brain is saying, oh, I'm noticing these changes, and our emotions or our mindset or our fear, whatever it is filling in these blanks that aren't necessarily true.
Yeah. But it's really just our brain, like taking note, if the perfect of better words, like it's just our brain saying, oh, okay, something's different, calibrating, like letting our body know, okay, you're a little bit different now. But like, and it's a very like process, like cut and dry, like A and B process. But we, like our emotions, fill in that emotional part. So when we're dealing with body dysmorphia, it's not a negative thing. It's just our brain recalibrating, reassessing where we're at.
Oh, interesting. Well, and that really speaks to the power of our mindset, right? Like what we think becomes our reality. So if my emotion is telling me something negative and I start telling myself that's on me, that isn't on my brain. Oh my God. Well,
and it's funny that the way that Natalie originally put it was, she said your brain assigns a value system as you go. And what you had mentioned about when you were talking about your job is you thought you had to be this person because you had to show your value because you at your heaviest wasn't worthy of the position to be put in at working at a normal rate. So you thought you had to outshine everybody else so they didn't have a choice but to put you where you rightfully belonged because you're heavier. You just must not deserve that. But that's also how that's just how we think about ourselves at our heaviest. We don't value ourselves the way we should. Everybody has that same, the imposter syndrome can work on so many levels. Even pre-op, you know, before we even think about having bariatric surgery, we could still be doing it, and which clearly you did. Because you clearly have the education, you have the knowledge, you didn't get any smarter because you lost weight. So in your mind, you're automatically thinking, well, I've got to be this stellar human because there's no way they're going to just let me have the job being as big as I am. And that really does happen in everyday society. It's not just with the jobs, it's with our friends, it's with our spouses, it's with our partners, whatever that may look like to you. You're doing that with it, whether you know it or not, whether it's conscious or subconscious, you assign that value system to yourself and think, well, if I don't go over and beyond and be the caring, you know, caregiver friend, nobody's going to want to hang out with me because they've got to only want to hang out with me because I can do so much for them because I'm that great friend that they can always count on. Nobody's ever going to want to hang out with me if they find out that I'm just a normal friend. Because I'm the big person. Nobody wants just the normal big friend. They want the amazing big friend.
Right. And the crazy thing is if I really sit back and think about it, the only person who was telling me that was me. 100%. It was my own fear. It was my own insecurity. It was me not thinking that I was enough. It was me just, I really think the beginning of, you know, the tip of that iceberg is fat people are bad. Fat people are stupid. Fat people can't get their ish together, right? That's just kind of the bigger general societal message, right? Society is not built for you, large person. So now I got to figure out how the heck I make society kind of try to like me. And I'm going to go at whatever angle it appears that I'm best at. But nobody was coming to me saying, you're never going to be successful because you're fat. Nobody ever said that.
No.
It was just up here, right? And I had worked so hard to get to that place. And I had such a kick-ass friend group, social group. You know, I really liked a lot of the pieces about me. And I was like, oh my God, if I go through this major change and if I change, nobody's going to like me. I'm going to lose it all. I'm going to lose everything that I have worked for. And it literally kept me stuck for decades, 2 decades before I made the decision to actually do something about my weight, not because of my size and shape, but because of my health, because of where I was going on that health train. It's just crazy to think about. So I guess really, now that, I mean, I entered this conversation thinking I didn't love myself at all before surgery, but I did. I guess I loved myself enough to like really try to find the good. And if I was scared that I was going to change as a person, that must mean that I did love parts of me. I did practice self-love. I was trying to have regard for my own well-being and happiness because I had found happiness at a high weight. So I wasn't going to mess with that.
Right. I mean, that's where I was at for years as well. It's like, okay, well, you know, society is kind of starting to go towards the direction of like accepting bigger people, you know, fashion and other things are becoming more accessible. I thought, okay, well, you know, like this could work. I could be fat for my whole life. Like this is not so bad. You know, I really worked on it. Like, okay, I'm gonna, you know, if I feel like dyeing my hair, I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm just going to do it. And, you know, worked on journaling. I worked on so many things, followed body positive people on Instagram, you know, really, I really delved in. And so, you know, when I made that decision, I really loved myself into bariatric surgery, which people don't necessarily understand a lot of time, especially in the body positive community. I will tell you firsthand, they're wild about it sometimes. And some of my best friends are in that community, and it was really hard for me to come to them and say, hey, by the way, yeah, April, same thing. It's like, I'm doing this for me because I need to do this for my health. But I love you the way that you are, like making sure that those lines weren't blurred. But it's a difficult thing to love yourself enough to make this big change.
Well, yeah, because that's a lot of people, you know, they think they're like, well, how can you support body positivity if you're going to go do that and you're going to make that change? And because you want to change, like, so you can't be all supportive of the body positivity. But in reality, what it is, we support you to do you however you feel doing you, whatever doing you is to you, do that. And I'm going to be behind you cheering the entire way. But for myself, my labs, my family, my grandkids, my, you know, I can't look at them and go, yeah, but I'm kind of body positive. So I'm just going to hang out over here with my, you know, bag of cheeseburgers and fries, and I'm going to clog my arteries, you know, until chocolate milk runs out of my blood and, you know, my veins instead of blood. And I just wasn't to a point where I could sustain that any longer. And my doctor, you know, I was not getting the type of, you know, messages from my doctor that said, keep on with the body positivity, buddy. Like, I was getting the, do you want to be here in 6 months? Are we still going to do that? Like, we can start digging a hole now. Like, I don't know what you want to do. And so, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, same thing for me. Like, if you're of the body positivity movement and you love what you're doing and it works for you, because I know there are healthy big people out there. There are people that are not in the box of society, the societal norm, that their labs are stellar. They're not pre-diabetic, even though they may, you know, they may look like they err on the side of it. from a visual person that doesn't care what the labs look like, that may be a horrible, you know, horrible thing because they don't fit into, you know, Fashion Week's what they say is it. But, you know, as we all know and have come to, you know, grow and understand, a lot of the shit they put out there isn't real. It's touched up, it's photoshopped, it's airbrushed, it's all the things. So even societal norm isn't normal because it's not real. So we can sit back all day long and support the body positivity movement, even though our, you know, what we needed for ourselves didn't quite align.
Well, I mean, yeah, but to me, body positivity is about having the freedom to do whatever you want with your own body and to not be judged by society. So if we choose to have bariatric surgery, that's a choice that we're making for our own bodies, which should be celebrated in the body positivity community. But it's not.
Yeah.
Which makes it difficult for us to practice self-love, because if we never get to the point where we can love ourselves, then we're kind of missing the point of that movement. And really, you know, I think self-love is... It's how we find that lasting happiness, right? It's how we find those moments of joy. It's how we avoid the arrival fallacy, right? Of thinking like, oh, well, once I do X, Y, and Z, I'll finally be happy, right? Self-love is really about just realizing I'm happy now. I can be happy now. I can love now. I can experience all of these joyful emotions and experiences now. I don't have to wait or work to get somewhere else. So what types of self-love have been difficult for you to practice after bariatric surgery? Are there things that you're like, ooh, I'm just really struggling with that type of self-love?
Yeah, I think for myself, it's the acceptance of where my body is now. You know, speaking to the arrival fallacy and everything, it's like, okay, well, I'm, you know, X months post-op, I'm, you know, over a year post-op. Is this where I thought I would be? No, not where I thought I would be. And then I tend to spiral or overthink, and my eating disorder brain also takes over, thinking I need to restrict more. And, you know, it's hard. It's difficult to show myself that self-love when I do this a lot. I'll reflect back and then I'll compare that to where I thought I would be. And then but I'm never like in the present. And so working on really grounding myself and making sure that I can just be present, and love and accept myself like where I am right now is something that I've been really struggling with.
That comparison monster is huge in our community. I mean, it's huge in our everyday life, right? Like we follow people and we think that we should be tracking with them. And then when we don't, it really eats away at our ability to love the progress that we've made, right?
Yeah.
Jason, what about you? What have you been, or are you struggling with the self-love piece?
Yeah. Mine is the negative self-talk side of things, the accepting compliment side of things, because when other people are like, oh my God, you're doing great, I'm like, well, I'm doing okay. I want to be doing better, but I'm also not always making the decisions to get me better, which is a struggle that I also have with myself, because then when it comes time for me to, you know, I have a plan in my head or I'll do really good most of the day. And, you know, I'm the first one to be like, oh, there's another meal coming around. You're not going to win today at breakfast. But, and that's the kind of shit that I say to myself as I do whatever it is that doesn't line with where I want to be. I will say stuff like that in my head. And then I start thinking about it. And then I've kind of gotten into a habit where I really had to snap out of it pretty quick, because I was starting to go to a place of, you know, we were talking about the imposter syndrome thing, and I'm like, I'm sitting there and I don't remember what it was I was eating, but it wasn't good, whatever it was. But it was, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, and I'm like, you're a fucking fraud. Like, you're a fraud. You're out here talking to people every week. You're on live. You're doing stories about all this rah-rah shit. But look at you. You're sitting there eating something you know's not right. And tomorrow, whether, you know, I haven't stepped on the scale all January, I'm still not doing that, but my thing is, had I have stepped on the scale the next day, I know what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And to myself, I really started getting dark on myself, which isn't something that I normally ever do. Like, I'm always just like, yeah, where you go, dipshit, and keep it moving. But I really was like hammering in on myself, and I wasn't letting it go near what I would normally do. And I had to really have some serious conversations with myself and deconstruct the things that we talk about, why we talk about them, and realize that the reason we do this is because I'm being a normal bariatric patient. I'm doing the things that we all do. And the reason that we talk about it the way we talk about it is so that other people know they're not alone. And here I'm backing myself into a dark corner going, yeah, horrible, because blah, blah, you know. And it's like, for, you know, no, dude, because if I saw or heard or we got a message from somebody else doing or saying the same thing, we would be the first ones to jump up and say, no, don't say that about yourself because, well, you know, all these things. But I wasn't letting that side of my brain even enter into the equation. So I kept all that out. Like, I locked the door, you know, Katie barred the door, wasn't letting them in because I'm like, no, I need to feel horrible because the bad things I've done. And it was a couple of weeks that I was doing this to myself. And then finally I was just like, dude, like, calm down. Like, you really have to think about not only what you're saying to yourself for yourself, but for everyone else out there that listens to the things that you say and mm-hmm. why they listen to the things that you say. And so it took that and me really kind of processing through some stuff for me to realize that I was just being normal.
Mm-hmm. Right. We've been saying this often in the Bari Nation universe. There is no bad bariatric patient. We can be living our lives out of bariatric compliance, but we are not bad patients and we are not bad people. Right. I think the best line that you've ever said, Jason, on the podcast is we have to get it wrong to get it right. And one of the ways that we can practice self-love is acknowledge that mistakes and missteps are a part of the process. Right? This isn't an anomaly. This isn't something that we did because we're a horrible person. This is how we figure out what feels comfortable and uncomfortable now. And if we're never making those missteps, we just think that everything is fine. And, you know, that indication is, I got to work through something here. I got something going on here. You're practicing showing yourself self-love by just listening to yourself and acknowledging that, you know, mistakes are real and they're normal.
And I think something that we forget about being bariatric patients, we forget that like other people, like I'm going to use the term normies, like people who have not had bariatric surgery, they do that shit too. Like they overeat too. And yeah. Like over the holidays, I remember being like, oh my God, I feel like absolute crap. And then thinking back and being like, well, you ate 5 dozen sugar cookies. Like, no freaking wonder you feel like shit. And then, you know, talking to my mom about it. And she was like, you know, I feel like shit too. Like, I overate over the holidays and I don't feel very good. And I was like, oh, so it's not just bariatric patients that feel bad when they eat bad things. You know, so it's like we have to remind ourselves and give us that like space and grace to be like, by the way, like there's a sugar pandemic in our country. Mm-hmm. So like maybe don't beat yourself up for 5 weeks.
Yep. Well, because again, like calling ourselves out is different as normal.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, oh, I was used to doing that, but I'm really not any different. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not a bad bariatric. I'm not a bad human. I'm not any of these things. I overate, right? Yeah. And that's one of the ways that we can actually practice self-love is we can call out our own fears and we can call out the stories that we're telling ourselves, right? We can just acknowledge what we've been doing and not assign emotion to it, right? Not be like, oh my God, I overate. I'm such a horrible human. Just to simply say, oh, I overate. I feel discomfort. Would I like to do that again? Probably not.
Yeah.
It's such a different conversation, but just shifting those little things is a way that we can practice self-love. And I really, truly do believe that the more we can love ourselves, I think the easier it is to let these things go, or maybe the easier it is to just recognize when that old thinking, those old habits, those old things that are keeping us stuck or creeping back into our lives. And it almost gives us a tool or a lens, I guess, to just say, oh, that's not loving, or oh, that's not healthy, that's not helpful, that's not helping me be the person I want to be, right? By eliminating, it's almost like the self-love helps us. Well, I mean, that is the actual definition, right? We are learning to love ourselves by just calling ourselves out on our own bullshit in a lot of ways.
And also something that my therapist has had me work on, because I'm like, again, like bariatric patients are not the only people that need to work on self-love. Call your friends out. When they say like, oh, sorry, that was dumb of me. Be like, hey, you're not dumb. Fuck out of here. Like I started to do that to my friends, be like, don't talk to my friend like that. Like I'll say little things like that. And then I start saying that to myself. Like, oh, don't say that. Like I'll catch myself now because I'm aware of it in other people.
Oh,
that self realization.
Oh, that self-talk. Oh, yeah.
So I will literally, my friends will be like, oh my God, I'm so fat today, or I'm so bloated today. You are not bloated. You may feel bloated. You are not bloated.
Yeah. You are not fat. You might have fat, but yeah. You are not fat. Yeah.
I've just started calling people out, like blatantly be like, don't say that. That's mean. Don't say that. And then I start calling myself out, being like, don't say that. That was mean. Like, and it really does work. So I challenge anyone, I challenge April, Jason, anyone listening, you know, start calling people out in your world, like in your bubble, you'll start to call yourself out. I guarantee.
That's a pretty dang good practice. Well, I don't know. And Nat, you've called both Jason and I out on things, you know, when we're having private conversations and, you know, it's arresting at first. And then you're like, oh yeah, I guess that was not very kind to myself. Yeah. No, it was not. Right.
You are being mean. I don't like
being mean. Well, thank God this month in Berry Nation, we are focusing on self-love. We are talking to really experts and members of our community who have been on this self-love journey or adventure. And they're going to be sharing with us some of their tips and tricks to arrive at this place of a greater sense of self-love for ourselves. So if this is something that you're struggling with, our whole support this month is going to be geared towards that. Because we truly do believe that self-love is a tool that we need in our toolboxes to find and maintain that happy, healthy weight. So if this is something you're struggling with, we encourage you, let us know. We have this awesome feature on our podcast now where you can actually leave us a voice message. So if something in the episode resonated with you, if you're like, oh, I've been practicing self-love this way, or oh, I'm really struggling with this, or has anybody tried this? Leave us a voice message and let us know so we can include them in the podcast. You're so excited about that feature. So it's really easy to do. It's and we would love to feature your voice in our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my friends. Well, anything for the good of the order? Is there anything you're really going to be working on this month when it comes to self-love?
I think myself, I'm just going to continue my practice of, you know, calling myself out on my bullshit. And realizing, you know, when I'm, you know, not being nice to myself, and maybe going out of my way to maybe say something nice to myself just when I think of it, instead of like planning, okay, I'm going to journal and say 10 nice things about myself. Maybe just, oh, you handled that really nicely, or oh, you look really nice today, or, you know, something like that. I think I'm just going to work on my self-talk.
Yeah. I think I'm going to really do the same thing. I need to get a clear understanding of what self-love means to me, what it looks like in my life, like what's loving for me, and really focus on doing that, you know, really kind of every day. Self-care, I focused on a lot in January. I feel like I made a lot of progress there, and I kind of want to continue that trend. And all month too in Berry Nation, we're going to be sharing ways that we can practice self-love for ourselves, what self looks like for other people, and be gathering feedback from everybody in our community as well. Jason, what about you? Anything you're going to be working on? I mean, it sounds like you've already done a lot of work.
Yeah, I've done quite a bit, but I to me, I'm going to start practicing eating cleaner all the time, not just most of the time, because we're just going to chalk up all the cheat day. I've had plenty of cheat days since I've had surgery, so I think we're good on those for a while. So I actually made an order for a bunch of like real good foods and stuff like that, that I have on hand now. So I really don't have, I've got a deep freezer I can barely close right now that's full of stuff that I can just heat and eat and go. So I've got a lot of work to do before I go buy anything else at the store. So I'm really going to focus on doing a lot of like 3-ingredient or less type meals, because if it's any more than that, then you're really just eating stuff you don't need to be eating.
Well, that is well-being and happiness, right?
I do have a question though, Jason, because we're human and we're not going to be perfect. So what are you going to do on those days where you're not going to be eating clean 100% of the time?
I'm going to be a lot easier on myself when that happens, because I know like for this weekend, I already know we're going to do okay, but we're not going to be perfect all the time. So, but yeah, no, I've retooled enough that I can take it in stride now and realize that as long as I play the law of averages and do better for the most part than I do bad, then, you know, I'm looking towards the right direction. But so yeah, it's work, but it's worth it.
Cool.
Yep. Well, and I think we're all striving to live our best bariatric lives every day. And if some days we miss the mark, that's okay. It doesn't make us a bad human. It doesn't make us a bad patient. In fact, it makes us a glorious human, because we're figuring out what truly works best for us and our bodies and our health. So, which is something we never would have done before. We would have never in a million years even thought about any of this shit before. So, I mean, let's love on ourselves for all of the glorious things we've already done. Pretty rad, my friends. Pretty rad. Yes. Miss Nat, would you like to tell people about our favorite day of the week?
I sure would. So Sundays are our favorite day of the week because it's our shout out Sunday. We get to shout out all of you guys, wonderful Berry Nation friends and followers. You literally just go to our link in bio. There's a Google form, fill it out to the best of your abilities and upload a photo that you're proud of. It does not have to be a before and after, just a photo that you're proud of. And that really encapsulates you as a person. That's it. It's very simple. I'll schedule it out and we'll post and we'll shout you out. And I love it because I get to sit and type all about you guys. I learn so much about all of you, what makes you wonderful human beings. And then I get to share it with, we get to share it with our followers. So, again, you just go to the link in our bio. You do not have to be a paid member of Berry Nation. You do not have to pay us anything. You do not have to do any, like anything. You just go fill out the form and that's it. I just first come first serve. I upload it to the grid and it gets posted every Sunday. So we love
it. It's so rad. And I just love the fact that it's people really celebrating themselves, right? And it's not like you have to be like at goal or anything like that. It's literally just you pausing and saying, I'm really proud of this aspect of my journey and I want to share it with the world. That's all it is. Absolutely, yep. All it is. And when we say link in bio, I should probably start clarifying. We're talking about our Instagram account. Oh. So if you have an Instagram account, you can follow us there. We are at berry.nation. You can also find us on Facebook. We are on YouTube. We have our anchor homepage. We have a great website. It's just www.berrynation.com. And if you're interested in getting an extra layer of support, if you are looking for a support group that's led by a therapist, if you're looking for peer-to-peer meetups or live digital events or classes that are geared towards a bariatric life, consider becoming a member of the Berry Nation community. It is a private, secure place where we can connect, learn, and grow with other bariatric patients and the experts. And you guys, it is straight fire. We're getting to the point where there is a support opportunity almost every single day. And we're almost to the point where there's like multiple support groups led by therapists every day. There's live classes. I mean, like I could just go on and on because it's just that rad. So if you're interested, hop over to our website. You have 14 days to try and explore before you commit to a membership. But, and we're of course always happy to answer any questions. So send us a direct message or drop us an email and we will answer them for you. All right, Jason, my friend, you want to take us out?
I do indeed. We just want to thank you guys for supporting us in all the ways that you do, all the likes, the shares, the subscribes, the ratings, the reviews. Just continue to do all those things. Word of mouth, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend because we're pretty awesome. And tell them to come hang out. You can either watch us on YouTube, you know, all the things you can do. You guys know where to find us. So just keep pushing the support out there for us. And just remember at the end of the day, you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, friends.
Bye-bye.